Well, today we complete this series on walking by the Spirit. And we look at the last three characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit: faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 48 to 54, then 66 through 69. We're looking at this particular passage a little bit differently than we normally would look at it. John chapter 6 is just packed with profound teaching of Christ, but we're going to kind of take a different look at it today from a different perspective. And so let's think about gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, and self-control. How do you and I do with those three aspects of our lives? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in your presence, for you are indeed the true and living God. There are no other gods besides you, and you are holy, holy, holy. And we are so thankful that as your children, we have the privilege of coming into your presence to worship you today. We come through the Lord Jesus Christ as we have confessed our sins and repented and asked for forgiveness, and you have forgiven us and you've cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Now we worship you through the reading and teaching of your holy word. I pray that our hearts will be open and teachable. Our minds will be focused on your word and you, and give us understanding of your word and how it applies to us personally as we study. We are thankful that your Holy Spirit will give us understanding and enable us not only to understand your word, but to be faithful in living by it. So bless us now as we focus upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that no one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last days." Now, let's turn to verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Amen. You may be seated. When you look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we look at the last three parts of the fruit of the Spirit being faithfulness, kindness, and self-control. Faithfulness may be translated as loyalty. To whom are you and I loyal to, committed to, regardless? And in John chapter 6, Jesus is talking to part of the 5,000 that he fed the day before. And they followed him, and Jesus pointed out, "The only reason you're coming to me is because you ate. I filled you up. You're not coming for me for spiritual reasons." So he called their hand on that. And Jesus came to be faithful to the Lord to his heavenly Father in teaching what the Father wanted him to teach. Are you and I so committed and loyal to Christ that we will stand on the Word of God, regardless of who we are around and what the subject is being? Will we stand and be faithful to the truth of God's Word, or we try to appease the crowd that we're with? Jesus didn't appease anybody. He came to serve His Heavenly Father and to accomplish the task that the Father gave Him. And God expects us to be loyal to Him regardless. And so Jesus in His teaching was not very popular, but He never deviated from truth, regardless of who He was talking to. And so our first look at loyalty, are we loyal to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God? That we believe it, we know we have Jesus as our Savior, we trust Him and Him alone for salvation, we believe that the Scriptures are the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. But how are we going to be loyal when we get around this group of people? And what are we going to do when we're around this person? You see, that's where loyalty comes in. Not just on Sunday morning, or Sunday night, or Wednesday night. It's all the time. And Jesus was that. Jesus was that. When the teaching got very difficult and very hard, we see that some of these people said, "I'm out of here. I can't take this teaching." And they left. They left because they just couldn't follow Jesus' teaching. Are you and I able to follow that teaching? Especially when it causes us to question some things that we have believed, we have been taught, but here it is in the Word of God, and the Word of God is truth, and it is God's Word. What am I going to do? In teaching seminary students, I say, you know, we all have boxes in our grids, and we take all this information and we put it in a box and in a grid. What do you do when you come across the truth of God's Word and you don't have a box for it? Now what are you going to do? You got two choices. The box that's not truth, you throw it out and put the truth in it. That's what you do. Or you deny the truth and you keep your own wisdom, hence allowing sin to dwell in our hearts because we'd rather have this nice sinful part of our lives instead of truth. So we're loyal to the Word of God and to His Word. That's being loyal. That's staying focused on the Word and living the Word when the world's not going to like it, and you will find some in the church that won't like it as well. So they took off. And then you have the apostles. And Jesus turned to them. "Do you want to leave too?" Oh, Peter's confession here. "To whom should we go? You alone have the words of truth." No, we're staying. And that's where you and I are. We have a desire to be taught the Scriptures and the truth of God's Word. I have a desire to teach it as Hunter has a desire and David to the children. We want you to learn. We want to teach you and instruct you and walk with you in Christ and being led by the Spirit of God, using the Holy Spirit working in us and all of us and the Word of God as the light that the Word of God is. So we're all loyal to Christ because we all have the same view and the same commitment and loyalty. We don't want to weaken in that truth of faithfulness. Faithfulness to God and faithfulness to each other. That's standing arm in arm in the truth of God's Word. I remember one night, one afternoon, Al and I hadn't cleared this with you. Hang on, brother. Al and I went visiting this family that had visited the church. And we went up and knocked on the door. And this ferocious dog was, I heard him at the door, spamming on the door. And I thought, not good. I heard the lock being unlocked. You got your dog? Yeah. So he opens the door and the screen door was there and he lunged at the door. I said, you sure you've got that dog? Yeah, I've got it. He opened the screen door. Guess what? I was eye to eye, nose to nose with the dog. And I was standing there like this, and when I came to my senses, this guy was saying, let my dog go. Don't kill it. I had that dog around the throat, and I was not going to turn loose. And I looked at that man. I said, you got that dog? I've got him. You sure? Yeah. So I turned to look for Alan. He's in the yard. So I turned the dog loose. Turned to Alan. He said, I got your back. You got it all right. I was wondering, you were in the car with the engine running. And we got in the house. I said, Alan, you got to talk. I can't talk. I'm going to kill that guy's dog if he comes back in here. That was called sin. But do you and I have each other's back like that? Do we have each other's back in being faithful and encouraging one another, worshiping together on Sunday, coming back on Sunday night, coming to midweek Bible study, to be taught and to encourage each other by your own personal presence, to be in a Sunday school class, not just to fill it up so we can say we had a full class, but a desire to be faithful and loyal to the Lord, to learn and to fellowship with the Lord anytime we have the opportunity. It's a spiritual growth and strengthening where we truly learn each other what we need, and we're faithful to the Lord and faithful to one another. That's faithfulness. Now let's look at the next word. The next word we have is kindness. Kindness means to accept people as they are and their weaknesses and to work with them. To accept people where they are and all their weaknesses and all their flaws, and then to work with them and encourage them and set an example before them. To be kind means I'm willing to hear some theology that's not biblical. And I know it's not biblical. And I don't stand there and say, what do you think? What are you saying? What are you smoking? And not to come down holy and more theologically acute than you are, but to accept them and lovingly give them scripture and say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about what the Bible says with this about this? That's being kind. In Ephesians, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4:32. I know that's not in the bulletin as references because this verse the Lord put on my heart at 2 o'clock the other morning and I couldn't get in touch with John to get it in the bulletin. But Ephesians 4:32, look at this passage. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Be kind.
Be kind. Basically the same word. Be accepting of someone. Reaching out to them. Tender-hearted means to be compassionate. Means to be compassionate. Do we have compassion for each other? Do we have compassion for those who are lost in sin and blind and they just are spiritually dead? Tender-hearted, being compassionate people. Loving, caring people. Being real with yourself and then with others around you. That's being kind. Forgiving one another. You remember the word forgive means to not hold the person accountable for what they've done or said about you or to you. And you release them from that. And you release them to the Lord, that the Lord would work in their hearts like He's working in yours. And so you don't go around holding grudges. But we release them to the Lord. Let the Lord, you know, the Lord's a lot more powerful than any of us. The Lord knows a lot more than you and I know. Knows that person a lot better than we know them. So the compassionate thing to do is to release that person to the Lord. Why? Look at the last phrase. As God has forgiven you in Christ. How many of us deserve to be forgiven by the Lord? Not a single one of us. And who deserves our forgiveness when they've genuinely hurt and offended us? No one. So what do? Just as God has shown His grace and mercy and love to us, we should show it to one another. And that's what we need to do in being gentle with each other, being kind, is to be forgiving and have a compassionate heart. This is so important that we see the Holy Spirit working in us and causing us to be faithful and gentle. Now let's get to the last one. Self-control. Self-control here means the power to keep oneself in check. The power to keep oneself in check. How do you do that? How do we do that? I know folks who don't have brake pads on their jaws. How do you and I keep ourselves in check? Because you know what? I'm not going to have to answer for any of you. And you're not going to have to answer for me. We got a more serious person to answer for. Ourselves. Ourselves. And ourselves are the only one you and I can keep in check. Oh, we're a bunch of control freaks. We want to control everybody. But God didn't say to do that. He said, self-control, which means keep a check on your own heart, your own mind. Pray for the others, yeah. Give them the Word of God and show them the right way. But ultimately, that person's got to come to the decision, as the Holy Spirit works in their lives, they got to do it. They have to do it. So let's turn to James chapter 1. Now let's look at James chapter 1 as we think about self-control. In James chapter 1, let's look at verses 19 and 20.
James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. First of all, he says, know this, my beloved brothers. The verb to know here is oida. It's not gnosko. So it means to know with deep understanding. Have a realization. Come to reality. Know this. What does he want us to know? And look, he addresses my beloved brethren. This is the pastoral heart of James. They're not doing this. And he has a pastoral heart that he wants to see brothers and sisters in Christ with this attitude of heart. So know this, my beloved, very much loved. Let every person. Now, the verb let there is actually the verb to be. And so it means be in a condition or state of mind. So now we're dealing with our thoughts. Not only our hearts are being compassionate and tenderhearted, but now we're dealing with the thought process. So be in a state of condition of mind. And what are we supposed to be in a state of condition of mind? Let every person, and that phrase, every person, means each person. So don't be doing this. Each of us need to think clearly about what we're being taught by the Spirit of God. Let every person be quick to hear. Now, look at the preposition there. You've got to hear, to speak, and to anger. That preposition to there, it's the same word, and it means to have a specific goal. A specific goal. So in order to keep ourselves in check, we're to have three specific goals that are listed in this verse. And look at what the first one is. The first one is quick to hear. Quick to hear. The verb to hear there means more than audible hearing. It means to understand. It means to understand. So that means we have to listen and listen carefully. It means sometimes it's better for us to listen than to talk. So are you and I good listeners? Are we willing and are we open to hearing what someone has to say and to weigh it with Scripture? Everything you and I hear, we need to weigh it with Scripture. How does it go with Scripture? We hear a lot today. The social media, you can get just about any kind of information you want, and you can get a lot you don't want. It's out there. But we have a grid called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go there. You don't need that. And don't go there either. But am I willing to listen? Am I quick to hear and to understand? That's the first thing we keep our hearts and our minds in check, is to hear what people are saying. And when we listen to people, we need to listen carefully, not only to the words they're using, but the emotion behind the words. That is very important. You know, all of us have this experience from time to time. We smile and we see someone say, good morning. You just hear your heart full of joy. And their response is, good morning. Whoa. It doesn't sound that good to me. Now, are you going to follow up on the attitude behind the good morning? They said good morning, but the heart behind it is very heavy, maybe even hurting. But are you and I just so busy, and we're just being Southern politeness, that we just buzz right on and we don't give another thought until we get past that person and say, whew, glad I didn't follow up on that one. Listening.
listening of what we're hearing with the emotion behind the word. That would be perceiving and understanding. So we're quick to listen, to hear. Now, slow to speak. Slow to speak. There's a preposition to a specific goal, not to run our mouth. And the phrase to speak there literally would translate, think before you talk. Think before you talk. How many of us have ever put the old number 10 in their mouth? Or 5, whatever you're in. Yeah. I just leave mine there. It's a lot easier. You know? How many times have we did not listen? We didn't try to understand. And we just blurted out something. And oh, the offense that it caused. And if we'd have just thought just a little bit before we talked, we wouldn't have caused the offense or added a burden to someone. So we need to be slow to speak. We need to think. I need to keep my heart and my mind in check so I just don't blurt stuff out. It's not good to do that. We all know that. It's how often are we practicing it? And to be self-controlled, then in a conversation, we should be saying, okay, Lord, help me here. Help me here. Let me think this thing through. Don't let me respond right now because I'm not going to respond. I'm going to react. And you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, I need to think about this before I give you an answer. That won't make the person happy, probably. But they'll be a lot happier if I take time to think than if I just blurt out something. Sometimes it's a good idea to wait, to have a slow response instead of off the cuff. So we're slow to speak. We're careful in what we say and how we say it. When we do speak, that's keeping ourselves in check. Look at the next one. Slow to anger. Slow to anger. The word anger here means to lose it. Any of y'all ever lost it? Anybody lose it this week? Yeah, we lose it. You ever use the phrase, you make me so mad? Why do you let that person make you mad? You let that person make you mad. Why? Keep the heart in check. Keep the heart in check. They make you mad because they're not listening to you. And they're not doing what you want them to do, and they're not saying what you want them to say. So it makes me mad. Not about me, myself, and I. It's one of the problems of this world. It's one of the problems of leadership in this nation. I'm more concerned about me, myself, and I and getting reelected than I am meeting the needs of this country. Am I like that? This is what we need to think about. And in order to do this, we got to be slow to anger. It's never good to explode and to lose it. Nothing is ever accomplished like that. It just causes more trouble and it sets us all back. Now we got to mend fences and relationships and get all that right before we can move forward. Because I didn't keep myself in check. I didn't exercise self-control. Now, let's look at verse 20.
when we lose it, look what James says here. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The word anger there in verse 20 is the same word in verse 19. For losing it, so when we lose it, look what it does. Now, I'm going to read to you the way it's written in the Greek because it changes the emphasis a little bit. For the anger of man, the righteousness of God, it does not produce. For the anger of man, the righteousness of God, it does not produce. Why do you read it like that? Because the emphasis is on what is being produced. That's why we need to look at the Greek, because the emphasis is to cause us to stop and think, what am I producing when I do speak? Do I produce the righteousness of God, which would be living a life that is led by the Holy Spirit? Or when I speak, am I producing my unrighteousness? Am I venting my anger, my wrath on someone? So when you and I speak, we got to stop and think. If I say this and I say it in this way, what am I producing? What am I going to dump on that person? What am I going to put into that person? What am I saying about my heart the way I communicate? It's a scary thing when you stop and think about self-control. It is really scary. Because we bear testimony as Christians of walking with the Lord. And the world expects us to walk perfectly all the time. And that's impossible for us. But how much of an effort am I making to be that way? So when you and I are faced with a situation that's very touchy and very difficult, we need to go into that meeting. How many times have you heard somebody say they're going into that meeting loaded with bear, the sheep bear? Well, don't even go into that meeting. Don't have that conversation at that time. You don't want to go into a meeting with an attitude like that, because you know what's going to happen. I'm going to shoot him. Only I'm going to shoot with words and I'm going to tear him down. No. That's not any self-control at all. But that's what self-control is all about. It's all about a heart that's faithful to the Lord. And that's compassionate. So a heart that's faithful to the Lord and gentle is going to produce the righteousness of God. And as you and I have this in our minds, we're more likely to produce the righteousness of God as the Spirit works in us than we are the anger of our heart. And these are all connected here. The faithfulness to God, the gentleness, and the self-control. They're all intertwined. And if we're hitting on all three of those, we're less likely to be out of control, more likely to be in control. So if you and I walk by the Spirit, and the Spirit being the means by which we conduct our lives on a daily basis, then the fruit of the Spirit should be obvious to us and to those around us. When it's obvious to us, it's humbling, because we know what we're really like. And when we don't act and don't talk and like we really are, and we speak and encourage and build each other up, we know it's the Spirit of God doing that, working in us.
Because my natural tendency, negative. Brothers and sisters, God says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's in Galatians 5:16. For the Spirit opposes the flesh, and the flesh opposes the Spirit. The question is, whose side are you and I going to take? Whose side am I going to take in any given situation? The world and the flesh and all the ungodliness? Or a commitment to Christ, loyal to Him with a compassionate heart? And as believers in Christ, you and I have that choice. Anyone here today who doesn't have Jesus as Savior, you don't have a choice. Yours is always going to be the flesh, because you're spiritually dead and you don't know Christ as Savior. You need to come to faith in Christ. Believe He is the Son of God, and He died for your sin. He raised from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. And indeed, He has given His life that you may have life. If you believe in Him and ask for forgiveness and repent of your sin, you will be forgiven. That's where you start. And those of us who've done that, we just need to reevaluate our hearts before God. Let's take time to do that, shall we pray? Father in heaven, oh, we thank You for what You've instructed us this morning by Your Holy Spirit from Your Word. We know our weaknesses. We know our sin. And I pray, Father, that You work in us by Your Holy Spirit, that Your righteousness would just come forth in the lives and hearts of Your people like it's never done before, and that You will give us the ability, Father, and a desire to be faithful, to be gentle, and to have self-control over our hearts. Because all of this comes from the Spirit of God working in us. You've spoken to our hearts. Father, lead us by Your Spirit to make commitments that we will keep in honoring, loving, and being faithful to You. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and this obvious is a hymn of singing about God's faithfulness to us. And as we realize His faithfulness to us, our faithfulness to Him grows even stronger. Let's stand and sing this great hymn.
the verse that just pulls this whole series together is Ephesians 4:32. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.